Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
Like, I feel like this feels like more like a new year than January 1st.
It
So I
really
have like this,
does.
like, September rolls around. The weather is perfect. It's like warm, but still cool enough that you're not like just wishing that you were just lying in the air conditioning all day. And so I love September. This is the month when I come to life.
Nice cool
This.
mornings, and then it does still warm up, but yeah, just
I
having
still buy
that.
new clothes, like I'm going back to
Oh
school.
yeah. A nice fall jacket.
I just wish I had a trapper keeper.
You can get
So,
them. Oh yeah,
I
Vivian's
know.
got one.
That so does Jameson, yeah.
Show
But
up for my next board meeting with a trapper keeper.
yeah. You can
So
start a new
yeah.
trend.
Hear that Velcro
The
sound.
Yeah, so that's the time of year, and we're talking this week about teachers and fictional or real teachers, some of our favorites. Welcome back to the High Five Podcast, where we talk about our five favorite topics or five favorite items within a topic every week. And this week it's teachers. And so guys, what makes, what do you look for in a good teacher, whether it's fictional or real? And what defines a teacher to you? Rob, since it was your topic, why don't you lead us off?
Oh shit, I didn't know I'd have to answer an essay question.
Just off the top of your head, just off the top of your
This
head. So informal.
quiz,
A.
I
A. Just
yeah.
answer A.
Answer A. Oh. I thought you were saying
Not It's not multiple
hey.
choice. True that.
where's my Scantron? Oh gosh. No, I don't know. I think it's I think we'll I don't know. Some of the teachers are a little bit different all throughout my choices, so I think we'll kind of find out as we kind of talk through them. I've got three fictional teachers and two real life teachers, so.
All right. So maybe, Caleb, what do you have? What's your breakdown?
So I kind of did it
Answer
more of
A.
like impactful or taught me some valuable life lessons. Like that is kind of what I thought about when I was thinking about teachers. So that's kind of the direction I headed in. I don't know if there's necessarily qualities that I think of that make a great teacher other than, I think care and, the impact that they make on you along the way.
None of mine are actual like school teachers. Let me double check that.
Only
Fact
one of mine
check.
is a school teacher.
I guess one of them, but no, none of mine are like your traditional school teacher. I did well in school, but like I never really liked being in school. And so some of my most impactful teachers come from kind of unorthodox backgrounds or situations but they all can be viewed upon as teachers. So, I think that was I just wanted to kind of get us kicked off and headed in the right direction as far as talking about teachers, talking about what matters to us as a teacher, what defines a teacher. But I guess let's just jump into it, Rob, since this was your topic. What was your number five?
Okay, all right. My number five is from a movie that I have not actually seen in quite some time. But the teacher is John Keating from Dead Poets Society, played by Robin Williams. It's a movie where you question authority. It's a movie where, clearly the students were inspired to stand up, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." Of course, it's like a great cast of actors from that era, right? Like you got your Ethan Hawke, you got your, Josh Charles, you got your Robert Sean Leonard, who would go on to like House, right? Like you got like, Laura Flynn Boyle plays one of the girls in it, right? Like it's quite a great story. Like I said, I have not watched it in a while, but I would love to see it again. And it was kind of, I can't remember if this kind of falls in like when Robin Williams kind of first started taking like a serious turn in his career, right? Certainly like later in life, Good Will Hunting, right? Which was again another kind of academic role. I feel like this was like when he really starts to kind of get out of Mork from Ork, and that sheds that reputation into an actor who could do quite a range. So, yeah, my number five is John Keating, Dead Poets Society.
Nice. All right. So,
I'll go second. How about
why don't
that?
you go second? Yeah.
So this is the only fictional teacher character I have on my list.
Oh.
And it was one that kind of was like the first teacher that I thought of when I thought of like fictional teachers, because I think he had the most impact. And it is Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World.
Oh, that's a good one.
I loved
Yeah.
Boy Meets World. It was one
William
of the
Daniels,
shows.
right? Wasn't that the actor's name?
William Daniels. So obviously Boy Meets World ran from 93 to 2000. That was my
Peak
teenage youth
years.
years. We watched that show every week. I think it was TGI Friday, right? I'm pretty sure it was on TGI
Sounds right.
Friday.
Yeah.
So I thought. And I just loved that show. I loved Mr. Feeny's example of what it meant to be a teacher. He seemed to really care about his students, probably above and beyond what your normal teacher does, but obviously made a lasting impact on all of the characters' lives. I don't know if you remember, but the final episode of that series, they kind of are all talking to Mr. Feeny about his impact and about how he changed their lives. And it just that scene alone kind of really stuck with me and lasted with me about how, people and teachers can really impact their students. And I think he's a great example of a great teacher. So,
No, that's a good one. Now, remind me, did Mr. Feeny live next door to them as well?
yes.
Yeah,
Yep.
okay. All right. I also had two teachers that I lived just a few houses down from me.
Oh, yeah.
One of whom in my town, like there are still generations of people. Like there were parents whose like students then had this teacher, right? Paul Terpstra was his name. He was an English teacher and a psychology teacher at Chelsea High School in Chelsea, Michigan. And he had a reputation for being extremely tough and like and he was demanding, but like I swear to God, I learned grammar and the rules of grammar and it stuck with me even all these years later. And I knew he was tough, but I also knew he was my neighbor. And so like I was kosher with him. Like I liked him. I thought he was a blast, but not a lot of people liked him. But I also was raised by an army captain. So, I'm kind of used to scare tactics.
This will be a spoiler for one of my honorable mentions. I only had one person even as an honorable mention as an actual teacher, and it was my Mr. Langs, and he was that military teacher. He forced you to look him in the eye. He demanded your respect, and if you gave him, if it was a very like you give me respect, I give you respect. He was a coach of mine, and I totally get that. And those were some of my favorite teachers, 'cause you knew what you were getting. You knew that nothing was going to be put up with by anybody. Everyone was on an even playing field. There was no favorites. Of all teachers, that's inside of a school setting, that would be my favorite type of teacher, I guess. Yep. So cool. So my number five is Rafiki from The Lion King. It's kind of one of the more whimsical ones that I'll list here today. But it's more of the idea of, the shaman type mandrill character, the unlikely source of wisdom who, you know, isn't necessarily like in your face about their wisdom. It's more like, hey, if you give me the opportunity, I can teach you something. Look over here. And then, you know, the famous phrases from the movie, you know, where Simba is, you know, looking for his father, and he, you know, guides him to the water and has him look at himself in the water, and he says, look harder, he's in you. You know, just like forcing you to look outside of the painted boxes that sometimes we make, and that we want to look for answers, like, you know, people that kind of guide you in that direction of looking where you might not always see wisdom. So jokingly, Rafiki, it's a cartoon character. He's funny. He, you know, teaches in funny ways. Sounds funny, looks funny, but like, not jokingly, like the message of that character is exactly the type of teacher that I look for sometimes. So that's my number five. Rob, what's your number four?
So, if my number five was John Keating from Dead Poets Society, my number four is a real life teacher, someone who was my college professor, but I actually sat in his class in high school. So, my older brother went to the University of Michigan and took a class on Shakespeare. I think it was like English 440. That's really weird if I still remember the course number like that. But I'm in 10th grade, and we had just like our we had just finished our marking period, right? And it was we had quarterly marking periods, and then we had a semester, but it was like usually in January, right? So it didn't align with college. So like my brother had just started the class like in early January, and so this is like maybe third week of January, right? Fourth week of January. And so I have like the day off from school, so I go to school with him because my brother's like, you really love Dead Poets Society, this guy is like this in real life. His name is Ralph Williams, Professor Ralph Williams. Professor Ralph Williams is pretty renowned for teaching Shakespeare, so much so that when the Royal Shakespeare Company would come to the United States to perform in New York, they would often do their previews, stage their previews in Ann Arbor through UMS. And so it was an opportunity for the directors and the designers and the actors, including I've seen Patrick Stewart performing Shakespeare in Ann Arbor, Michigan, right? So
That's
anyways, that's not what's the impressive part. Ralph Williams was just really brilliant. So I ended up taking sitting in this class, and it starts off, they were reading Richard III. My brother really loved that play. And someone asked, why is Richard III considered a tragedy? Because he's such a jerk, he's a villain, right? And so Ralph spends the entire hour answering that question, going through like what we were talking about, like with Black Panther during the comic book movies, like dramatic structure, that if a hero goes through a conflict and changes, it's a comedy. If a hero goes through a conflict and doesn't change, it's a tragedy. And that's what befalls Richard III. And he starts to tell like what happens in Roman days, and then how like theater kind of had to kind of go underground, and then the church kind of brings it back, where you produce a mystery play so you could do theater, but you had to tell stories from the Bible. And then eventually writers kind of went on from that, but they go into the morality plays, so you could do plays, but they still had to have a good outside of the Bible, but had to have a good lesson. And then you get into the Renaissance period, where like Christopher Marlowe and William Shakespeare and others are. And he starts telling this whole complete history. My brother at the end of the class was just like, I am so sorry, that must have been the most boring lecture. And we had just covered like that entire time period in my world history class in high school. And so I was like, no, this was absolutely fascinating. And so he was the reason why I wanted to go to the University of Michigan. And so when I did, I would take his classes. So I took his class in Shakespeare, his class in the English Bible as Literature. And then I also, because I was going to college around the year 2000, there was a class that he did. It was all like apocalyptic literature. And so there was,
Oh,
we
yeah.
would read some like the Book of Revelation, but we would also read other things and other religions, but also just people, how like imagining end times and how that carries through. So Professor Ralph Williams is an amazing man. Real quickly, there's something I do want to say, is that he actually was also an actor himself. He plays a very interesting version of himself. The Funny or Die guys went to University of Michigan, and then they produced a movie called Answer This, and it's all about pub trivia teams competing in Ann Arbor. So Ann Arbor is Ann Arbor. They're not trying to make it like some other city. So like they're like at Ashley's pub, they're filming everywhere. And then Ralph Williams plays Christopher Gorham's father. And he would have this thing. He would go in through this lecture hall of like 200 students, and he would literally make eye contact with all 200 students and be like, "Good morning and rich welcome to you." And he would like say, "Hi, hi." He would like take 10 minutes just to like say hello to everybody. And then annually, he would do this Book of Job lecture. And like, it would like, he would end up moving to a bigger lecture hall, and like everybody from like the university president and everybody would like go and attend his annual Book of Job lectures. And, so yeah, he was just a great college professor, probably the best one I ever had. Even though I majored in business, I would take English classes all the time,
Wow.
just especially so I could take his class. So Professor Ralph
Nice.
Williams is
Cool.
my choice. Is he
Nice.
still teaching? Do you
He
know?
is not. No, he was an
Okay.
older gentleman. He's retired. And then he was it was in the, I don't know if he was in a lavender marriage or what, but like he was married, he had a wife and kid, but then eventually, I guess after he retired, he did like come out. And then I kind of ran into him one time. I was coming out of the gym and he was going in, and it was just like, "Oh, okay, you definitely came out. You are definitely dressed gay." Okay. It's like, so, no, but he is not teaching anymore. I don't know if he's still alive. I hope he is. I'm pretty sure he would be. But yeah, he's a great teacher.
Interesting. Nice.
Cool. Caleb, what was your number four?
Yep, so my number four, as I said, I only had one fictional character, so the rest of mine are real. And I'm with you, Jay. I didn't, it's not that I didn't like school. I liked school, but I wasn't very vocal. I kind of just sat back and
Yeah.
just kind of, I wasn't a, you know, an amazing student, but I wasn't the worst. I was
Yeah.
middle of the pack, just there, just trying to get done, trying to survive. So I never really had a teacher, a school teacher that impacted me. In fact, when I was doing this list, I was like, I can't even think of half of my teachers' names. You know, like I was trying to even just imagine. So then I had to think, okay, I got to expand and think outside of the box. So who are the people that aren't quote unquote teachers but have impacted me? And the first person that popped into my mind was when I was in high school. I was a diehard religious kid. Grew up in a religious home. Went to multiple churches. Went to multiple youth groups. Spent a lot of time doing that, but the person that impacted me the most was a youth volunteer leader that I had. I think he started when I was in eighth grade, and then he stayed with us all the way through high school. And his name is Jeff Fernandez. And he was just somebody who I could call, I could text, I could rely on. You know, if there's anything I needed, any question I had, any concern I had, you know, he would be the first person that I would think of to reach out to or to ask a question to or to learn from or to bounce ideas off of. And just was an example of somebody who really meant a lot to me growing up. You know, it's always nice to have people outside your family who impact you, and that
Absolutely.
was Jeff for me. Actually he was the master of ceremony for my wedding, and I think that's the last time I've seen him. So it's been a while. But yeah, always somebody who and he was actually the reason why I wanted to be a youth pastor and was a youth pastor for a little while and no longer am. But yeah, so he was definitely a big influence and teacher in my life. So
Well, my number four is who I thought you were going towards with yours, Caleb. My number four is former pastor, author, and podcaster Rob Bell.
oh.
Are you going to talk about Rob Bell at all on this podcast? Okay,
Nope.
so I'll let you fill in where you need to, but. So I don't know if, do you know who Rob Bell is, Rob?
No.
Okay. He started a church in West Michigan. He became famous because he wrote a book called Love Wins, where it basically he was one of the first big pastors to really question whether or not hell was a real place. And whether or not, when they referred to hell in the Bible, they were maybe more referring to a part of the city where everyone like burned things and threw their garbage. And so then he started kind of elaborating on that, you know, not, you know, basically talking more about just like whether, you know, if you believe in a God that, you know, can condemn us to hell because of a couple of decisions that we may or may not make in our lives, you know, is that really a faith worth having, you know, and maybe a faith worth having is one that you can question. And he wrote this whole book, and really, and got ostracized from, you know, his faith community, and, moved out to California, and has since, you know, become a public speaker, and has done a podcast. And he's really like, he's really one of those people that over the years he's transitioned in front of our eyes. And I know Caleb can speak to this as well. But a good teacher to me is someone who can grow up in front of you and change, and isn't always like telling you that they know the answer, because I think a good teacher is someone who can be humble and say, hey, maybe I didn't know the answer before, or maybe the answer has changed, or maybe we don't know the answer. And that was one of the big things Rob Bell talked about, was, you know, being able to say, I don't know about something when it comes to your faith, or your spirituality. And, yeah, he's been someone who I've kind of checked back in with over time, like if a big event happens, where I'm really needing some sort of spiritual understanding about it, I'll check in with him to see what he says about it, because he always seems to have a very clear head about things, and can think about things in a just matter of fact way. And so, yeah, for that reason, Rob Bell is my number four. Yeah. Nice. Caleb, what would you have to say about Rob Bell that I didn't say?
No, I think you covered it. No, I didn't have him on my list just cause I went more like, people I know personally. I mean, I know Rob, I worked with Rob, but, like I don't know him. Like I didn't go out to dinner or anything with him. You know, I worked at his
heart
church,
to heart with him.
So
yeah. But cool. All right, so that's my number four. Rob, what's your number three?
Well, my number three is fictional. And speaking of hell, this is somebody who helped guard the hell mouth in Sunnydale, California. It is Rupert Giles, the librarian from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
I mean, who doesn't love a badass librarian? Right? He went from, you know, what was it, Folger's Coffee that he was doing? Maxwell? No, was it? No, God, what was the ad? He did the coffee ads, right?
Yeah, Nescafe, what was it?
Or something, right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly he appears as Rupert Giles. Yes, it's a librarian, but, you know, it's in the school. He had to mentor and teach Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy Ann Summers, see her through her two deaths and resurrections. Yeah, so I always liked Giles.
Nice. All right, Caleb, you're up.
Okay, what's so your I don't know if my number three is a cop out. if it is, you can call me out on that. That's fine. I can take it. But again, you know, I was saying, you know, no real like school teachers or anything like that popped into my mind. But then I thought about who along my life has taught me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my grandma and grandpa.
Uh-huh.
Primarily, so my grandma and grandpa Phillips, they probably popped in my mind too, just because my grandma just died 2 months ago and my grandpa died in November. Both lived till they were 93. But so my mom and dad both worked. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents were around a lot, and, you know, taught me life lessons and values. Whoa, I'm getting emotional. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, my grandpa never yelled at me, never got mad at me.
Whew. It's still fresh, too.
Well, I'm looking at their picture, too, which isn't helping. But they were patient. They cared about us. They, never called us out on our stuff, but just wanted us to learn from our mistakes. And yeah, they just were good examples of people in my life. So,
How would they do that? Like, how would they not call you out, but like have you learn from your mistake? Like, I
perfect
feel like that's a fine
example.
line because I'm talking to
Yeah.
both of you guys. You guys are parents. I'm not a parent, so I'm always fascinated by like how do you.
Yeah, so it was more about the way that they lived and acted. So, for example, I remember the story. I mean, there was multiple versions of it, but so they had a cottage, and every winter, well, not winter, every Labor Day, we would go out and we would take in the dock. So there's part of it was scrubbing it. It was a dock my grandpa made. It was made out of wood. So we would take it in, and he would have to scrub off the barnacles and the dirt and all that kind of stuff. And he, would have us kids do it, and we would be scrubbing it. And we're
Your kids. Yeah, you're not
middle
doing a good
schoolers,
job.
so we're not maybe scrubbing as hard or as much as he would. But he would let us do it, and he wouldn't say, "Oh, you missed the spot, or you didn't do that, or you didn't do this,"
Move.
or yeah, or move or get frustrated. Instead, what he would
Yeah.
do is, he would just gently come behind us after we were done, and he would do it and get the spots that we missed. And yeah, there was lots of it. I mean, I can remember gardening with him where, I probably missed a bunch of weeds, and he would just kind of slowly walk behind you and just clean up the messes that were left behind. And so just things like that. Just, he could have easily been like, "No, forget it. I don't want you guys here." Or, "No, forget it. I'll just do it myself." I even sometimes do that with my kids, but just the idea of, no, let them do it. They'll learn something along the way, and they'll get better through, not doing it right. And I don't need to point it out. They'll see, "Oh yeah, maybe this is a spot I missed." So that's what I mean by kind of doing it like that. So
No, that's it's interesting. I mean, thank you for sharing that.
sorry, I got emotional.
It's okay.
No, do not have to apologize. I'm going to be getting emotional later. Don't worry. That's a good one. All right. So that was your number three.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My number three. My number three is Mary Poppins.
Okay. I love the whiplash that this episode is creating.
No. I mean,
Is
it's
this
not
teachers
for.
that impacted us, or teachers that we think are hot? Which one? I'm not sure which one it is.
For this one, they're one and the same.
Both and.
As a kid, Mary Poppins was always just one of those movies that would be on, from time to time, and you knew the songs, and it was feel good and a feel good movie. But then, as we had our own child, and the Mary Poppins Returns movie came out, we were already I can't remember. Yeah, we were already watching the original Mary Poppins, and so we were so ecstatic when they were coming out with the sequel, and we got to share it with Vivian, and it ended up being one of the mainstay movies in our household, as Vivian was growing up, and it was just some of the lessons that Mary Poppins teaches, ways to make things fun, w way to make work fun, way to, make things that you don't want to do more enjoyable. But then in Mary Poppins Returns, the characters, struggle with losing their mother and forcing us to kind of think about, when somebody leaves us, they're never really gone. And just the idea of Mary Poppins as, someone who can help you kind of slow things down and think about things in a better way. And it just the idea of, she was a magical character. She did whimsical things, made things fun. It was just something that really stood out. Is a way to parent. Rob, you were asking about parenting and how you make things work. And sometimes it's just trying to make things fun, trying to, give good options, When neither of the options are good, you try to make one of them more fun. And those are all the things that Mary Poppins really stands for, stood for. Never got into much of her literature, just the movies. But one of the songs that is in the Mary Poppins Returns movie, where she sings about, the mother who's gone away, is the main line of the song is nothing's really ever gone. It's just out of place or something like that. And nothing's gone forever, only out of place. And there's a song that we actually played at my aunt Pam's funeral that died a few years ago. And she was a big Disney fan. And I would have known, I knew that she would have loved that song. And we played it over a slideshow for her. And now every time I hear it, I think of my Aunt Pam, but I also just think, of Mary Poppins and just, what that character means for a lot of people. And what it meant for me and what I know it means for my daughter. And so Mary Poppins is my number three.
Nice.
But
Very
yeah.
cool.
All right. Rob, what's your number two?
Right, so this is my last fictional option. My number two is pretty much I was trying to figure out if I could pick like one person, but I'm just gonna go with like the entire faculty at Abbott Elementary. It's a fictional TV series at
Sure.
ABC, distributed
Yes.
by Warner Brothers. It has completed 4 seasons and is about to debut its 5th season in like 2 weeks. Created by Quinta Brunson, who is, I think, it's just a genius.
Yeah.
The show tries to do that little bit of that like documentary, like there's a
Yeah. Yeah.
camera crew following
The Office.
like
Yeah.
thing. Yeah, and it doesn't like quite hold up. Like, I always had issues with that because it never really holds up structurally. I'm like,
Yeah.
they're not gonna have that conversation
Where
in front
is
of the
this camera
camera.
crew?
Yeah, right. Or
Yeah.
why is the camera crew at their house?
Yeah.
Like, right. I never really liked that format, but I do love the comedy and I do love the heart. And good God, do I love all the teachers on that show.
Yeah. They're all
And so
flawed
it
in their
was,
own perfect way.
oh, absolutely. And
Yeah.
they even did a brilliant crossover with It's the Always Sunny in Philadelphia crew. And it definitely, but the thing about it is that it is more so than, well, I shouldn't say that. Because it does kind of follow like the White Shadow or Head of the Class or some of these other great things where, it does touch on the challenges of being a teacher, particularly in the areas of funding, or in, a more modern problem would be gentrification in urban environments. There's situations where there's a golf course and bribery and trying to get new computers and trying to compete with like a charter school. And all of the different things. And at one point, the main character leaves and goes works at the district, and all of the challenges that came with that. And so, I just enjoy the comedy because I think it's still a very good comedy. It has a lot of heart, but I also think it actually does kind of show some of the challenges that teachers are facing in America in the 21st century. So,
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Great choice. Yeah. Yeah, you
Yeah.
can't really choose one of the teachers. You gotta kind of choose them all, right?
Well, I one of my friends, she said she loves the principal Ava Coleman the best. I kind of like Melissa, the Italian lady. I
Oh yeah,
mean, but then
she's
I
always
also,
a little loose
yeah,
on
she's
the
totally, yeah, she's totally, yeah, like, she's like hitting it hard at the racetracks, right?
Yeah.
But then I also love
Yeah.
Barb, like,
Yep.
oh God, Sherry, God, what's her name? Anyways, longtime Broadway actress,
Yes.
who can sing, amazing,
Yep.
and whose name is totally like forgetting as I'm like quickly vamping and Googling, Cheryl Lee Ralph, Cheryl Lee
Go.
Ralph, right? Like, I mean, yeah, she's, yeah, that character. It's just, it always amuses me whenever she shows up. And I think
Yep.
the best line is like, she comes in at one point, and she's like, "Sweet baby Jesus and the grown one too."
She's my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are times where I shout that when I want to drop a bunch of F bombs. So I'll just say, "Sweet baby
That's
Jesus and the grown one too."
a good
Nice.
line.
Nice.
Cool. All right, so that was your number two. Caleb.
Okay. My number two is probably another cop out, but that's okay. I don't care. It's my list and I'm sticking to it.
That's
And
right.
my number two is my kids.
Oh.
I guess they're not officially a teacher, but they have taught me a lot.
Yeah.
They've taught me a lot about life, about love, about appreciating, the small things in life. Yeah, I just, you just I always was real nervous to be a dad. I didn't know if I ever really wanted to be a dad, and if I did, maybe one, because I felt like I could at least handle one. And then, we have two now. So, and each one has taught me different lessons and has shown me different values, and have said things in my life where I'm like, oh, dang, wisdom of kids is unreal. So yeah, I just when I think of a teacher, they've taught me a lot about life, about enjoying the moments, about savoring, this short period of time that we have with them. So, my kids. Yep.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, there are things that I've learned, like kids call it like it is. They
Yep.
call it like they see it. You can't slide anything by them. They are the ultimate BS detectors.
Yep.
Yeah, they're yeah,
And yet
it's
they fall for
amazing.
that Santa Claus crap every generation.
Not my kids, sorry.
Yep.
No, I know what
So.
you're saying. It's funny, my sister and I were having this conversation. Now, she is my other sibling who does not have children. Sorry. So she and I are like both having dinner. But she actually said this week, she worked in dentistry. And so she would have many patients who were children. And she said, everybody sort of treats children like they don't know or don't understand. And she's like, they really do. They know, they They
understand
do.
almost just as much as adults do. They're just little people with little mouths, And so, I think what you're saying too is like you're right. Like kids can see through things, they can understand things, they can sometimes adapt better than adults can, or sometimes roll with things based on maybe like not having expectations, right? And then there are other times where they're just gonna have super high expectations and they have the meltdown in the Meyer floor.
Oh, yeah.
But to be fair, if I could get away with having a meltdown
Hell yeah.
sometimes in the middle of a Meyer
Hell
floor,
yeah.
I would do it too. But
Yep.
apparently,
Cool.
that's not socially acceptable.
Cool. All right, so that was your number two. My number two kind of in the same realm as a Mary Poppins, but this one was way more present in my life growing up, and that was Fred Rogers, Mr.
Oh,
Rogers.
yeah.
He's an ordained minister. He has a lot of teaching background, but he made his obviously name on the PBS television channel in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood so much as a kid, probably mostly not wanting to, but it was like one of the only things that was on. But as I became an adult, I realized that I learned so much from him. He's got famous quotes that just stick with me. Famously, I like you just the way you are. Anything that's human is mentionable, and anything that is mentionable can be more manageable. Another quote is, there is something of yourself that you leave at every meeting with another person. And then, very timely, something that came up in my feed today was, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. And that's, in situations where it seems helpless, or it seems, like there's no good coming from it. But even in those situations, you can find the people that are helping and find, goodness in humanity. And so, yeah, just little things like that. When Vivian was growing up, there was an animated version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, was Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, was made by the same foundation. as Mr. Rogers. And so it was really cool to have my daughter be raised by Mr. Rogers in her own way. And she probably wouldn't even be able to tell you, but the thing is like I didn't really know that Fred Rogers was a teacher of mine until I became an adult. And I look back and like these are things that I try to live by, or these are things that give me strength in times of weakness. I think probably I really realized it when a couple of the documentaries came out over the last few years about Fred Rogers and his life. And I left both of those movies in tears, because of just how good of a person he was. Obviously probably not perfect, but he meant a lot to me, so he is my number two.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so we're on to our number ones. Rob, what do you got?
So this person was not my teacher, but this person is not fictional. So I think I've mentioned before that I am the youngest of three, and so it is the middle child in our family, my brother. Now, as you've probably have heard from this episode, I love, back to school clothes. I love trapper keepers. I clearly love school. I love academia. Like, if I could have, like, honestly, if I didn't have to like work for a living, and I probably would be like, I would go get a law degree just because why
Yeah,
not? Like, the law
that's what
impacts
Katie would
everything.
do.
I was saying to somebody else the other day, I was like, I kind of want to take a physics class because I actually never took a physics class because a guy who taught physics at our high school, he also taught my ninth grade math, and he was an absolute dick. So I avoided physics. I don't know, maybe I might like physics. But no, this is my brother. My brother was not like me. He was sort of not the schoolish one, bookish one. I remember going to the library and I'm picking all the books off the shelf and for the summer reading program, and my brother was like, you got to pick a book. And he's like, I can't find anything to read here. She's like, you're telling me in all these books you can't find anything to read. So he like pulls off the Call of the Wild. So he ended up going to college. He ended up becoming a getting educated in teaching at U of M, and then he would move to Northern Michigan, where he has been teaching in high school for astronomy and earth science. And then he, a few years ago, this was probably about 12 years ago, he began to do like a multidisciplinary course in Alpena, which has the Thunder Bay Marine Sanctuary. And so one of the classes that they would teach was a multidisciplinary course where you would build an ROV, a remote operating vehicle, and then you would use it in the school's pool. And then you would take the glass bottom boat from the Marine Sanctuary, you'd go out into Lake Huron, and then you would actually like drive your remote operating vehicle underwater, right? But then to do all of that, it's like, well, what would you find in the water? Okay, where do you find shipwrecks? And then it would be like, well, why were ships even traveling in the Great Lakes? Well, because this is the history of commerce. Why would ships sink? Well, because this is what happens with meteorology, right? So it would bring in all of the different subjects, and there's a couple of videos that are out on YouTube. I wonder if they're still out there anymore, where my brother's like teaching the class and how many kids taught the class. He kind of has left that for a while. He had become a teaching coach, and then he was assistant vice principal last year. But this year he this just like 2, 3 weeks ago, he has returned to being a teaching coach where he's teaching teachers, and he is so much happier with it. But he is very beloved in his town. You cannot go anywhere without people stopping him and talking to him. And so, yeah, I'm just actually proud of my brother for being a good teacher.
Nice.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, Caleb, what's your
All
number
right.
one?
So my number one is the only actual certified teacher that I have on the list.
Good thing they
No.
made number one.
Yep. And it's actually my wife, Tori.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to be married to a teacher. You see things from an entirely new perspective from somebody who went to school, and now you're like, oh, that's what teachers do when they're not in school, you know? She's thoughtful, she's dedicated, she's an incredible teacher. I hear stories from students. You know, we have a couple students that live in our neighborhood that they'll come over and just talk to Tori, you know. It's the same thing. Like, you know, we're out and about and she can name off all of these kids, you know, to see the impact that she makes on students' lives. She has Jameson right now, as a teach as a student. Jameson said he's, even though she's my mom, she's still my favorite teacher. And I don't think he's being biased in that either. So, yeah, an incredible teacher, incredible person. So it's pretty easy to put her at number one. So.
Very cool. Hey, you know what? This is great. I did I'm glad Tori, like, how is her school year going so far? Like, is it going okay?
Yeah, so far this year's been good. Yeah. You
Yeah.
know, it's still early. There's plenty of time for things to fall apart.
I know. I always ask, I feel like if you're asking a teacher, like, how's the school year going for you? It's kind of like asking about how's the war going? So, well, that's great. So this is why I wanted to do this. I kind of was like, let's do, like, there's great teachers in our lives, whether we were, students or not. And then, but just, it's also kind of fun to throw in some of the fictional ones as well. But, this is back to school season. And so I just, you always got to wish the teachers well, because they got a lot on their plates these days.
I don't know how they do it. All right. So that was your number one. My number one is the only teacher that knew me. So this is not a traditional teacher, by any means, but was my mentor. This is the person that took me from not knowing what I wanted to do after high school, offered me a position to come and work for him for the summer as a carpenter, while I figured out what I wanted to do. I ended up staying on for 6 more years with him as a carpenter, and this is was my first boss, Dave Tompkins. If you know me at all, he'll come up in conversation from time to time. He was a family friend of ours. He actually grew up with my dad. Close family friend, went to my parents' church, was a very, very talented carpenter, trim carpenter by trade. One of the most talented people I've ever known. One of the funniest people I've ever known. He was father figure of mine, taught me so much about the trades, but also life. He was a very strong Christian man, and definitely was a reason why why it's a part of my life as well. I just have so many fun and funny memories with him. Obviously, being funny, he was very good at making work fun, blaring the radio, singing the wrong words to country music songs, and I just have very, very vivid memories of, us driving in his huge truck down the road, stopping at stoplights, and him putting in his Billy Bob teeth and just looking at the people in traffic next to him just to get their reactions. And he would even go as far as buying me a pair of Billy Bob teeth so he could make us both look like hillbillies and get reactions from other cars nearby us. I mean, he was just a jokester, but knew, he was also a very very talented man, very knowledgeable, very wise man. Not without his imperfections, but he was just such an impactful person in my life. He unfortunately passed away in 2006 in a car accident when I was working for him. Actually remember it very vividly. It was Memorial Day 2006. My family and I were we were down in Shipshewana camping, and got the news. Actually, my father called me and told me that what had happened, and it was when I found out, it was probably in my whole life the most shocking moment, where I was kind of his right-hand man at the time, and we were, running a small carpentry company. He was kind of grooming me to take over his business someday, or at least, have a large stake in it. And this was the moment that really I felt like the carpet was pulled out from underneath me and what I thought my plans were for my life. I feel like it still affects me to this day in a certain regards, but also it forced me to start my own business. And a lot of people that were kind of in his circle, kind of circled around me to help me take over, a large part of his business and accounts that he ran. His wife helped me. Some of the other, accounts that we worked for helped me. And so I really feel as though even after he passed away, his impact helped me become who I am to this day. Learned a lot of things the hard way, learned a lot of things just, felt like as I was going through him, going through these moments, I would be like, oh my gosh, Dave probably had to deal with this situation, or, Dave definitely had to go through this as a small business owner. I still think about him. Anytime I'm doing carpentry work, it's he's just he's he was just such an impactful person to me. And yeah, that's why he's my number one.
Nice.
And just like you, Caleb, it's very hard for me to talk about him in ways like this where I don't get emotional because I mean he meant that much to me, still means that much to me. But yeah, so cool.
Nice. Well, it sounds like good teachers can come from all, good wisdom can come from all kinds of sources. So. A toast to all the teachers out in our lives.
Yeah, for sure. Does anybody have any honorable mentions?
I had missed Frizzle just because
Miss Frizzle.
thought it'd be fun to put Miss Frizzle. I remember, Magic School Bus. It was always fun. Always watched those in school. So
I had Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid.
wax on, wax off.
What just again that kind of like that quiet leads by example, isn't the most outspoken or prideful person. Just that type of character always resonated with me. And the other one I mentioned earlier was Mr. Lang's my football and baseball coach, and he was a social studies teacher. He was also my Fellowship of Christian Athletes mentor at our school, and so he kind of knew me in a lot of different arenas, and so that was why he was pretty impactful to me. But yeah, those were
Nice.
mine. But yeah, that was a good topic. Good job, Rob.
Oh, all right.
Got some
Not me,
feels out of
teachers.
us. Cool. Well, so that well, I guess we could leave that there. What do we want to talk about next week? Whose turn is it? I
It's
think
your turn, sir.
we got messed up last week. I think I put Rob on the spot when it was supposed to be me, didn't I?
It's your
No,
turn.
doesn't
It's your
matter.
turn now.
Oh,
Sorry, it's
I
just a
know.
topic. It's, you
Yeah,
know.
just a topic. Well, I think we should just go ahead with the movie festival thing. I think, we've had a week to think about it, and movies after traveling a lot in the last couple weeks, I've gotten to see a lot of movies. And so I've got a lot of movies at the top of mind right now that I think would be good for a movie festival. Is that what we want to call it? Like a top five, like if you
Yeah, I would
wanted to.
say like if you could run, here's how I'm gonna answer this question. It would sort of be like I might pick like a movie or even a double feature, and I may say that I would want to watch like Jaws while everybody is like floating in inner tubes in a swimming pool, right? Or Like, would you watch the movie Airplane while on an airplane? I had one friend make fun of me for watching the movie Red Eye while on an airplane, but
or snakes on a plane while on an airplane.
yeah, right. Yeah.
Or
So I
Con
would
Air.
say, like, it's kind of a little bit about, like, think about, like, what movies you would show and how you would present them. And I don't even know if it would be, like, necessarily, like, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. But one thing I will note, though, is I can't join next Thursday. I have to do a thing.
That's
If
fine.
not,
So we'll do movie fest. We calling it movie festival? Is that what we're calling it?
sure.
And you get to pick the movie and the setting, and you can go with it however you want from there. Cool. Well, guys, it was a good topic and good conversation. It's good catching up with you guys. It's been a couple weeks,
Yeah, good to
so
see you. Welcome back.
thanks, guys. All right,
Welcome
well.
back. Welcome.
All right, well, have a good week.
All right, see you guys later.
See you guys.
Listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.